You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Amen. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to begin a series this morning that's going to take me the whole time of December, what time I've got to preach. So if you want to hear the whole thing, you can't just come to church on Sunday morning. I'll be preaching tonight, next Sunday night. And then the 29th, I'll try to finish this thing up. Amen. And somebody said, well, that's after Christmas. So I'll preach something that happened after Christmas. But it's part of the Christmas story. Glory. Amen. See, it didn't just start with a manger. It didn't end with a manger. But we get all caught up in what happened that one night, and we missed the whole story. Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, out of the course of Abba. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, and walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom, to the just. And he shall be ready, and he shall be make ready his people, prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is stricken in years. And the angel answered, said to him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and is sent to speak unto thee, to see thee these glad tidings, to bring thee these bad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Amen. For the next few services, I want to take a journey through Christmas. I want to talk about the Christmas story. I'm not going to begin at the manger. I'm not going to talk about the kings or the wise men to start with. Amen. Because that's what we get all hung up on. But I want to talk to you about the foundation, the launching pad, how it all got started, the characters were involved, and all that took place. And I wanted to begin by saying that you can never understand God. Hello? I know we got people say, well, preacher, can you explain? I never try to. I've never been told to understand God, to explain God. I don't know how everything works. And I know some of y'all look at me like, well, I do. No, you don't. Because about time you think you got it figured out, it'll change course, go in a different direction. All I know is that in the beginning, God. Before that, there was nothing. And when God said, let there be, everything started popping out of nothing. Amen. And God took nothing and hung it on something. Of course, it wasn't something for him to hang it on, so he hung nothing on nothing and made everything out of nothing, hung it on nothing and made it stay there. Lord. I had a lady ask me the other day about something, and I said, well, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like the guy said he invented stuff, and he got in God's face one day and said, I can invent stuff. God said, well, go ahead and invent something. He started getting stuff together, and he said, hang on. You can't use my material. That'd be like me building a chicken pen after my daddy's stuff and then saying I created a chicken pen. It's my daddy's stuff I used. Hello? He said, what are you getting at? Man's never invented anything. We just finally figured out how to use the stuff God already had here. They were 747s in the Garden of Eden. We just didn't know how to put them together and make them fly. Glory. But you can never understand God. You'll never be able to understand the things about God. His ways are unsearchable. His love cannot be understood. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we just cannot understand the way God functions. So you can't put him in a box and say this is how it happens. Because just about time you do, he'll do it different to prove you wrong. Not really to prove you wrong, just let you know he's God. He does it his way. Hello? Amen. As we come to the first chapter of Dr. Luke's report, it is to understand well, first of all, you've got two women, one too young to have a child and one too old. So we've got a situation that's improbable and impossible we've got to deal with. And the whole reason Dr. Luke is writing this writing is because there's such a piecemeal story of what happened that he sits down and he writes this guy named Theophilus. I don't know who Theophilus is unless he was just Theophilus young in the head, and that's how they named him that. Some of y'all get that in a minute. It shot right over some of you's head. Amen. I'd hate to know my name was Theophilus. Glory. But I don't know who he is. It really doesn't matter. All I know is he wanted to know what was going on, wanted a concise report. Dr. Luke, who is actually a physician, who is most likely a Gentile, and I got somebody going to see me at church on that, but that's fine. Go ahead. Amen. I know he's one of the disciples, but he was not a Jew. Hallelujah. See me after church. I got it out of five different places. One of them, Josephus. Another one, another thing. And the fact is that he was actually just a physician that Christ picked up. You know why? Because he's trying to make everybody understand. I don't care your background. You don't have to be a Jew to be a disciple. All you got to do is be somebody I call, put my hand on, and you're willing to follow. I can make you a disciple. Come on, church. Smile. Some of y'all ought to get excited about that. Amen. He took it upon himself to write this story so that everybody'd have an idea. And so we begin the story in the fifth verse. And there was in the days of Herod, a king of Judea, certain priest named Zacharias at the court of Abitha, and his wife, the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now I read part of that to you, so I'm going to skip down because I want to read the last part. The Bible said that the angel appeared unto him and said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Amen. Now, church, I want to stop right here and say, wait a minute. That's the exciting part. His prayer was heard. What prayer is he talking about? I imagine Zacharias is sitting there going, well, you know, I prayed last week that our pension wouldn't run out while we was old. I prayed that we'd have good health till we got older. But what prayer are you talking about? And about that time he said, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a child. Now, church, let me give you a frame here. This man's probably 80 years old. Him and his wife been married 50 or 60 years. They prayed this prayer 50 years ago that they'd have children, and it hadn't happened. Probably for the last 20 or 30 years, they forgot about praying the prayer. But all of a sudden, the angel said, I come to tell you something. Your prayer's been answered. What prayer? The prayer that you prayed back when you and your wife first got married, that you'd have children. Because all this time, people's made fun of your wife because she's barren, and her tears cried, and she begged, and you forgot about the prayer, but God hadn't forgot about the prayer. And God said, now I'm going to answer your prayer. Let me tell you something, church. Some of y'all have forgot about things you prayed about. You thought because of circumstances they weren't going to happen, but I'm telling you now, just as God spoke to Zacharias, I believe God's saying to some of you, your prayer has been heard and the answer is on the way. Glory. Oh. Well, preacher, I don't know. Listen, you give up, but God don't give up. You stop thinking it's going to happen, but God is still God and he's never forgot. My Bible said God won't forget you.
He said, your mama may forget you. Isaiah, I believe the 48th chapter, around the 15th verse. He said, but God said, I write you down in the palm of my hand. And your cries, your prayers are continually before me. I hear Isaiah say, the hand of the Lord is not short, neither is ears heavy, that he cannot hear your prayer. You say, well, preacher, do you believe that? If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. Amen. He's going to answer the prayer. Lord. Some of you need to understand something. If you call on God in faith, if you trust in God's word, if you obeyed his commandments, you got a right to believe God's going to answer you. It may not happen today or tomorrow or next week. This has been 60 years probably. And all of a sudden this old man's sitting there, forgot about even praying the prayer, and the angel said, God's heard your prayer. Glory. And then he said, that child you've been praying about? Oh, we ain't been praying about that lately. Hello? Well, I hate to tell you, but he heard you. Glory. And listen to the 14th verse. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Can I stop right there? I'm just a little bit sick of folks saying, you can't tell me in the Bible where you sit and drink wine and strong drink. Just said it. If you want to work for God, you want to live for God, you want to be filled with the Spirit, you don't drink wine and strong drink. I better get some amens or we're going to stay right here and forget the rest of this. Glory. Man, live tidy for the body. And somebody told me, said, Jesus turned the water to wine. Not a problem. Get you a glass of water, pray over it, drink it. If it turns to wine, have at it. But don't get a man-made thing and call it a miracle. Well, preacher, it's about like gambling. Yes, it is, just like gambling. It's a moral issue. It's whether or not you want to get close to God or you want to live out on the outskirts and hope by the skin of your teeth you get something to happen. Come on, church. Walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you've got to have a drink every once in a while, it's probably because you ain't where you need to be with God. Amen. I don't know why it's got so quiet, because I was always told when it got quiet, I'd plow in the right field, and I need to stay there and keep plowing. I know some of you got eggnog. We had a guy with us got an eggnog coffee, and they'd like to kill him. Of course, there wasn't really nothing in the eggnog, but we kidded him because he kept talking, saying stuff, and he'd stop, and he said, that's stupid. And I said, yeah, I don't know what's in the eggnog. But it really wasn't, but it was almost like he had a little mess up in his brain, because he usually don't do that, but it was probably because he hadn't slept. Glory. Amen. But just think about this. Do you happen to remember the first time there was a reference to somebody being filled with the Spirit in the New Testament? I just read it to you. John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Huh? Well, wait a minute, preacher. That can't happen. You got to go on a 40-day fast. They got to beat you in the head, shake you up, and throw you on the floor. And then you got to get excited, and that's the only way you can get the Holy Ghost. I told you, God's not ABC, 1, 2, 3. You can't stick him in a box and say, this side's going to happen. For whatever reason, God said, I'm going to anoint this boy while he's still in his mama's womb, and I'm going to give him the holy anointing of God in his life that's going to follow him, and he's going to change people, and he's going to move in them. Hello? He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Now notice this. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is stricken in years. Two things I want to say about this. First of all, Zacharias is smart enough not to call his wife an old woman. He said, I'm an old man, but my wife's stricken with years. Glory. Guys, hang on to that. You may need it.
I got in trouble at Thanksgiving. My niece just got married. She said, I thank God for my new husband. He said, I thank God for my new wife. They got to me. I said, I thank God for my old wife. Not because she's old, but we've been married 38 and a half years. Glory. Hello? And I got in trouble. My mom like, what are you talking about? I said, well, she ain't as old as you, so it's okay. Glory. But Zacharias was smart enough not to call his wife an old woman. That gets you in trouble in a heartbeat, guys. You know, stricken with years might get you in trouble. Frida told me one day she wasn't old. And I said, I understand that, but you got an AARP card that says you are. Glory. Amen. And I don't know about her, but I'm not ashamed of it. I love the discounts. But I noticed something. He looks at the man and he said, now, how am I going to know this? But let me put it in a better context. He says, how can this happen? I'm 80 years old. My wife is past childbearing years. There's no possible way. It's biologically impossible. You say, no, wait a minute. He didn't say it that way. Then why did the angel answer him the way he did? If he wasn't questioning where it could happen, why the angel turned and said, now, because you question it, we'll shut your mouth up. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. So I said, well, I just don't believe it that way. That's fine. But he made the angel get upset enough that the angel turned around and said, look, if all you're going to do is talk negative about this, instead of being positive about this, we'll just shut you up till it comes to pass. Glory. Hello? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Notice what he said. And the angel answering said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season, their time. Angel turned around and said, because you don't believe, we're going to shut you up till it's over with. Glory. Hello? I wonder sometimes, church, has God ever thought about shutting up some of our mouths? Glory. Because we look at circumstances God said he's going to take care of, and it's not easy when you got all the reports of this world telling you it ain't going to happen to keep believing in God. I remember in 1982 when they told me and Frida it's a biological impossibility for us to have kids, and I started thinking about adoption, and we started talking about adoption, and we got to looking for adoption. And then in January of 1983, Frida calls me, and I'm in Alexandria, Louisiana. Guess where Alex got his name? I'd had a dog I really loved, and he died. And I told her to call the guy, see if they had any more of them dogs. And she called me on the phone. I'm at the preacher's office, and I'm sitting there, and she said, you know, you might ought to sit down. I said, why? She said, well, they ain't got no more of them dogs. I said, well, that's fine, baby. It's not something going to shake up the world if they don't have no dogs. She said, and I'm pregnant. And I said, oh, I got to sit down. But so many times God gives us promises, and because it don't happen the next day or the week or the month or down the road for a while, we begin to look at it as if it's not going to happen because we didn't figure it's going to happen to begin with. But if God said it, it's going to happen. And notice what the angel said. He said, you'll be dumb until it does take place. In other words, it's not a matter if it's going to happen. It's a matter of you not being able to talk till it does. Oh. He said, I just want to let you know it's going to happen. What was it Habakkuk said? Though it tarry, wait, for it shall surely come to pass. Glory. Glory. Oh, come on, church. That's good stuff. Sometimes we're smart. We just think that things ain't going to happen. We get to looking at it, and we analyze it. We paralyze our own faith because we're too worried about trying to figure out why it can't happen instead of just trusting God. And let me stop here. I won't charge you nothing. But let's understand. Sometimes believers put down believers because they believe. Somebody got a word from God, believes God's going to do something because it didn't happen where they could figure it out. Everybody else is going, you know, they're just desperate. Well, aren't we all supposed to be desperate?
Aren't we all supposed to have to believe that God can do things that this world doesn't comprehend? Have we come so far in the church world that when people believe now, we figure they're crazy and we want to throw them out on the left side somewhere and say, oh, don't get around them. They're a little strange. They might be. But the Bible said my people will be strange. They'll be a little different. They'll walk a little different way and talk a little different way because they believe in the power of God that this world cannot comprehend. Glory. Say, preacher, are you sure you know what you're talking about? Yeah. In the 22nd verse, the Bible said he could not speak. And notice what happened. He comes out of the place. He can't speak. And the people perceive that he's had a vision. You ever notice he talks to somebody, they don't say something back. He starts trying to figure out why they're not talking to you. He comes out. He's been in there lighting incense. They're outside praying. He comes out and they're going, Zacharias! And he don't know sign language, so he's doing the best he can. Kind of like somebody trying to speak Spanish, don't know what they're saying. Glory. Don't do sign language unless you know, because you may hit a finger in the wrong place and get yourself shot. Had an overseer said he could speak Spanish. We went to a Mexican restaurant to eat one day. He ordered for us and said something, and for a long time we wasn't getting our food. Finally, the waiter came over and he said, did the gentleman waiting on y'all, did he offend you in some way? We said, no, why? He said, well, he said something to him that offended him, called him different words. And I'm sitting there going, you need to speak English from now. I mean, we could get poison in our food. Come on, church. Found out later he called him a bad word. He didn't realize he said it, but it really slapped him in the face. He went back and told his boss, I'm not waiting on him. Glory. So he's trying to do sign language. He don't know sign language because he's not learned sign language. He just can't talk. I mean, he just went dumb. He ain't been dumb all his life like some of us. You imagine if Liz had been there? What's wrong with you? Y'all ever had them arguments where somebody shuts up? There's no argument then. That's aggravating, ain't it? You want to argue with somebody and they want to argue back? What's wrong with you? Hello? I can see Elizabeth. What's wrong with you, Zacharias? Talk up. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of the menstruation were accomplished, he departed his house. As soon as he got through doing what he was obligated to do in the temple, he went home. And the Bible tells us this. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus saith the Lord, hath dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. I want to tell you something this morning. God's not forgotten what you've been praying about. What you thought was over, God's getting ready to work. What you thought was never going to happen, God might be getting ready to make it come to pass. What you've given up on, God might be getting ready to make it happen. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to know that there is a God up there that takes care of you and candles you and walks in his way before you if you can just hang on just a little bit longer. Now, the story kind of changes right here midstream. It shoots off back down into Nazareth, or just outside of Nazareth. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art mightily or highly favored, for the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I want to say something. I'm sure there are people sitting here today listening to me saying, oh, if God would just show me favor. If God would just get me a new car so I could have favor. If God would just fix me a, you know, my house, I'd have favor. If God would give me a better job, show me favor. Can I tell you something, church? You're here this morning, you're saved. You're washed in the blood of Calvary, you've got favor. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. I get so tired of people telling me, so if God would do so and so, I got favor. I want to tell you something. You need to read the book of 1 John. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. I'm not going to be a son of God in the future. I'm a son of God right now. And because of that, I've got favor. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored in the presence of God because I am a child of the living King. Woo! Glory. I got to hurry. Some of y'all are already favored. You looked at your watch. It's not a problem. I ain't got but 10 more pages. But if I don't finish this, it'll go further tonight. I love it. And when she saw him, she was troubled and saying, cast her mind, what manner of salutation is this? The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, she didn't answer like Zacharias. How's this going to happen? She said, how's it going to be? You know what she said? She said, okay, it's going to happen. Just tell me how. I already believe it. You said it's going to happen. Glory. Somebody said, now, preacher, you believe that's what it said? Yeah. She says, how's it going to happen? I'm not married. I'm a virgin. Everything I've ever looked at and read about says I can't have a kid, but you said I'm going to have one. Just share it with me. Glory. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God doesn't mind when we say, how's it going to happen? He just don't like it when we doubt what he's going to do. Hello? He said, hey, you're going to have a child. She said, okay, I'm your servant. I'm your maiden. How's it going to happen? Then let it be to your maiden as God will. Hallelujah. Hello? I got ahead of myself. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall conceive a son in her old age and in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, thy handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She said, I'll submit. Doesn't matter what I got to go through. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. Doesn't matter what everybody's going to think. I will do what God wants to happen according to his word. So, well, preacher, it's not no big deal. According to their tradition, she found in public pregnant without being married, she'd be stoned to death. She said, that's all right. If they stone me, they stone me. It's your child. Do you realize today in most Jewish literature, Mary is considered a prostitute? She's downtrodden as a harlot because she was found with child before she ever married Joseph. And everybody thinks Joseph is a great guy because he took her on knowing she was pregnant. Then they wondered, was maybe he the father, and just went ahead and married her anyway. But the truth of the matter was, an angel appeared to him and told him, you go ahead and take her. That child that is in her is of the Holy Spirit of God. And God's going to raise him up. And you're going to call his name Jesus. Hello? Come on, church. And Mary rose on those days. And she went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea. Why? The angel said, your cousin Elizabeth, and they never had a child. That old woman, she's 6 months pregnant. And Mary says, okay. I'm going to their house. If she's pregnant, then I know I've got a word. Come on, church. Amen. The Bible said, as she entered the house of Zacharias, and she saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leapt within her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Whew. Some of y'all might have missed that. So what are you talking about? She gets there, walks in the house,
She spins around and said, hey! And the baby inside hears the Jesus is in her, and he starts jumping because he says, oh, that's the one I come to clear the way for. He's inside her. She's full of Jesus. Amen. I got in. And notice this. All of a sudden, Elizabeth gets done what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, but preacher, you got to be in a church service. No, you're not. You just got to be willing to give in to God. That baby leaps in her womb. She gets full of the Holy Ghost, and she begins to prophesy right there in the house to her young cousin. Glory. Well, preacher, I can't believe you got off on that. I'm Pentecostal. What do you want me to do? I think it's time we all got to be Pentecostal again. Oh, well, I got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. If you don't have it now, something wrong with you. Come on, church. Oh, that's good stuff. I got the Holy Ghost, but I never worship. No, you don't. You ain't got nothing if you don't worship. Because every time I've ever seen anybody get hit with a spirit, they got emotional. Something happened to them. They raised up holy hands. They begin to magnify God. They begin to sing praises unto him. Come on, church. That's good stuff. Ain't got to have granny's favorite song or somebody jacking you up. You just get in the house of God, this presence, and suddenly stuff starts boiling out of you because the Holy Ghost is going to magnify him who has made this world. Woo! Glory. You know, Mary greets Elizabeth. John kicks. Whew. Isn't it amazing? You can have so much of Jesus in you when you talk to somebody, it will affect them. Hello? Well, I don't know what to say. It ain't a matter what you say, as long as Jesus is in you. If you're honest with them people and you really care about them, they'll figure it out after a while. One of the greatest soul winners I ever met to this day. Cannot quote scripture. He'll try. Curtis Silcox was here preaching for us. Curtis was doing a Bible study at this church, and he taught them the ABCs of witnessing. Carried this guy with him. Him and Bob walking down the street. Curtis walked off and left Bob because he didn't realize Bob wasn't still with him because Bob stopped to talk to a fella. Curtis walked by him because he figured it was just a little too hard for Bob. Mr. Ivy, he's 6'4", weighed about 280. His wife had left him. He was out in the front yard waxing his truck with beer ice down on the sidewalk beside him, cigar hanging out his mouth. And Curtis said, I kind of figured that'd be just a little hard for the first man. He said, I go down the street and realize I'm by myself, and I look back, and Bob's standing there with his finger in that man's face. Bob's not but about 5'5", 5'6". He'd go about 140, 145 pounds. He got his finger in Mr. Ivy's face. Now, I've actually met Brother Ivy. He's a member of the Golden Leaf Church of God right now because Bob won him to the Lord. He was the first of over 200-some people he's led to the Lord. And he said, I got back down there and said, Bob's finger was shaking. He said, I can't remember A, I can't remember B, and I can't remember C, but you're going to hell if you don't pray. Glory. Said, old boy, pulled that cigar out of his mouth, looked at me, he said, you know, you're right. And he said, right there in front of that truck, Bob prayed that man through to God. And now he's a sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled man. Him and Bob go out and witness on Saturdays trying to win souls to God. Church, we need to get enough of Jesus in us that when we talk to somebody, something inside them happens and moves and they know there's something in us they need. Oh, glory. You can say the world's a mess. The world's being torn up. World's falling apart. But if you have Jesus in your life, you can speak life into those that are falling apart. Hello? Listen. Luke 1:41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leapt within her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Two members of the family filled with the Holy Ghost already, and we ain't even had Pentecost. Glory. Hello? Come on, some of y'all want to read through this and miss that. Glory. I had a guy tell one day, say, ain't nobody ever had the Holy Ghost, been filled with the Spirit after Pentecost. I got two people already. I'm in the first chapter of Luke. He works. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, no. Get him out of your box. Your box is not God's box. I don't care who you are. God functions the way God wants to, and he don't need my permission. I've had God do stuff just blow my mind because I'd be thinking, oh, it can't happen that way, and he did it anyway. Hello?
Luke 1:42. She spake with a loud voice, and she began to praise God. Remember what I said? She had joy that filled her. Amen. People filled with Jesus are happy people. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:2, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that means? Jesus looked at the cross and said, I really don't want to do this. But he looked past it and said, but there's a throne on the other side I'm going to. And we got things we're going through. And let's face it, church, I've been through some stuff I don't want to go through. I've had some things happen I wish never had happened. But the idea is once I made it through, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand, if I look at the circumstances, they're going to destroy me. If I listen to the downcasters, they're going to destroy me. But if I hang on to the unchanging hand of Almighty God, I'm going to have joy in the morning like I never had before. Oh, come on, church, somebody help me preach. Glory. Yes, Lord. I'm hurrying. I got an appointment at 12:30. The two things I like doing in the world, preach and eat, and I'm fixing to do the other one soon I get through here. Glory. Luke 42b. And he said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ear, the baby leapt in my womb with joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen. She gets filled with the Spirit. She starts encouraging Mary. And making Mary understand. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You know what she said? She said, I know you're giving me help, but it's not about me. It's about him. This is all about him. It's all about what he's doing, what he's bringing to pass. And Mary abode about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came, and she should be delivered. She brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard now the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. The very people that had been mocking her are now excited for her. Hello? Glory. And it came to pass the 8th day that when they came to circumcise the child, that they called him Zacharias after the name of his father, which was tradition. And all of a sudden Elizabeth said, we ain't calling him Zacharias. His name's John. And notice what happened. And mother answered, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there is none in thy kindred that is called by that name. And they made signs to the father on how he should call him. In other words, we ain't talking to you no more. You're not messing up our family. We're going to keep the family name going. Hello? Because tradition said he's supposed to be named after his father. Notice what he said. The Bible tells me immediately. He looks at him and says, I ain't calling him Zach Jr., Zach the third or fourth. His name's John. He wrote it on a piece of paper. And as soon as he wrote his name should be called John, his mouth came open. Oh, hallelujah. The dumbness that had been on him left. And fear came on all that dwelt around them. All the days and the sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And they all heard them, laid them on their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon him, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. We got a whole family full of the Holy Ghost, and we ain't got the Pentecost yet. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, well, you're just Pentecostal. I am, but I wasn't raised this way. I was raised by scuzzball. Glory. Had a backslid Methodist preacher.
I wasn't raised in Pentecost, but I wouldn't take anything for what I have in my life right now. And I'm not ashamed of who I am or my background or what I am. And I'm not afraid to worship my God and to let him know that I am glad to know that he is my Lord and I am his child. Could you say amen? Zechariah said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant of David. And he spake in the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of them that hate us, to perform mercy promised of our fathers, and to remember the holy covenant, the oath which we swear to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of the enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness, righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? We got a whole family now, anointed with the Holy Ghost. And what is he saying? God has fulfilled his promise. The horn of salvation has come. Suddenly, Zacharias is not doubting what's going on anymore. He realizes, I'm living in history. Oh, this is awesome. What we've been looking for centuries now has come to pass. The promise Abraham got, the son, the salvation is all coming in the conception of this child, Jesus. Amen. And because of everything that's going on, I know deep down in my knower that he's going to be the one, and my son's going to clear the way for him, and he's going to turn some people around. But my son's going to understand I'm not worthy to undo his shoes and I'm not worthy to walk in his footprints, but he's also going to know that in him we're all going to live and move and have our being, and by him we're going to have life forever. Stand with me all over the house. How many of you can lift up holy hands and just praise him today for who he is? Has God been good to you? Has God blessed you? Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I pray today that God will give you one of the greatest gifts you could have for the Christmas season, a fresh renewing of relationship, the anointing of his spirit in your life, the power of his love in your heart, that God will give you something that you would never let go of. God would reach into your heart and give you joy like you've never had joy. You say, but preacher, it's going to cost. It cost him his life. And all it'll cost you is the same thing. Salvation is free. But to live for him, you got to give him your life. And if you give him your life, you can have joy, peace. You can have the Holy Ghost will get inside of you and give you power and anointing like you never dreamt of in the past. Father, I believe you to touch right now. Lord, to move with us with your power. Touch us with your grace. In Jesus' name.